Welcome, ladies. You are here for spring Bible study with Women at the Well. And welcome to those who are joining us either in their living rooms, with friends around the table. I know we have some women who are even out of town and out of state joining us. So welcome. We're glad you're here. This semester, we're going to be studying the book of Jude with Jackie Hill Perry. And Jude is just one chapter. It's a small little book of our Bible, but we're going to spend 7 weeks diving in really deep to studying this book. And so you're going to see a format here where you'll hear from us as a teaching team. We're going to discuss some of what you hear from Jackie Hill Perry's teaching. So every week you'll get to hear from Jackie Hill Perry, followed by us discussing what she's taught. And then you'll read through the passage. If you are doing the in-depth study, you can pick her Bible study up on Amazon or order it from Lifeway. So glad you're here. We'll talk a little bit more about what to expect at the end of this video, but I'd like to spend some time introducing our team. So these are our teachers. And if you could, Patty, I'm gonna ask you to start, but just kind of share a little bit about yourself, your season of life. And then I wanna hear from you guys three words that you would use to describe yourself.
Okay, so yes, I'm Patty Acron, if I haven't met you yet, and excited to be a part of this team again for the spring and the unique place of Jude. I am in a season of life, gosh, I never thought it would happen. Raising kids, you never think they're actually going to leave, but they do leave. They do leave you. And so we have four children. I'm married to my best friend, Jeff, of 33 years. We have four grown children, one who lives with us. 28-year-old Aubrey is severely disabled, so I'm still caring for her. And during COVID, that's been a little bit more challenging, particularly for her. I think she's tired of me, but I have her home. I also have two grand littles. I am finishing up seminary for counseling and have started formally counseling in the last year. And so that's kind of what keeps me busy, that and getting to hang out with all these young, beautiful girls. Three words to describe myself. I had to ask my husband. I'm not very self-aware at times. So he said passionate. And you know, your mind doesn't have to go down there. I just like passionate about life. Passionate. He also said wonder, like you're always lost in wonder. And motion, constant motion. And I think that's the part that the aging has been good, is that it's slowing me down a little bit. I have a very active brain and a very active heart. Always busy, can get me into trouble. And so you always want me a little bit tired. I'm a little more reasonable when I'm tired, a little easier to understand, talk a little slower. So those would be my words, passionate, wonder, and motion.
Good words. You don't want me when I'm tired. I'm a little bit more cranky and direct. And
between a 2 and an 8,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Ashley, how about you?
Yes, I'm Ashley Plone. I've been married for almost 4 years. And so we are in a season, as I feel like we're always waiting for something, but we are, you know, been trying for over 2 years now for a baby to get pregnant and just haven't happened. And we don't have any medical reasons why. So that kind of makes it harder at the same time. But so we're sitting in a waiting season, waiting on the Lord and seeing what He has for us. I work full time. I work in the kind of the back office of a bank, but I've been working from home this last year and my workload has just been insane. So it's, yeah, a little tiring as well. So three words. I also asked my husband, his description was feisty redhead. So I mean, feisty might fit in there, but I think it's kind of hard for me to nail that down, but reflective as one. As I'm a deep thinker, probably overthinker and analyzer. I was kind of debating between either like silly or also I think adaptable. I'm pretty adaptable and easygoing. And I love change. So I feel like that maybe all fits in there. And an organizer and planner, which kind of sounds counterintuitive to being easygoing, but I just love to organize things and I'm easygoing about life and what's happening around me. So yeah, I think that's a little snippet.
Good. Jess?
Hi, I'm Jess Visser, and I'm also really grateful to be on this team and excited about Jude. I feel like it's not a book that I have spent a ton of time in the way that we're going to, so I'm looking forward to that. I am married to Travis, and we've been married for, I'm always a year off, 17 years. I know, 17 years, yeah. And we have 4 kids. We live on a dairy farm, so we live, in the country, lots of things happening on our property. And just in the busyness of having 2 teenage daughters and all that that involves, with their growing hearts and feelings and things. And then, I have 2 elementary age boys. And so just different ends of the spectrum of energy and life happening. And super grateful, for that. And then I just started school for counseling. So I'm super excited about that too. I'm loving it already. So, so that's me. And 3 words. I asked a couple people. I asked one of my closest friends and my husband and my oldest daughter, and they all had like very similar words, but the 3 that I think probably are the most accurate right now, introspective would be 1. The Lord has had me in a season of, just a lot of reconciliation, a lot of growth in just who he is and finding myself in him. And so that's been big the last couple years. Determined, which I would say is probably in every aspect of my life. I'm determined to get things done and accomplished and done well. But because of being introspective and determined, I'm tired a lot of the time. And so I feel like that's even in the season that we're in of ministry and school and family and COVID and all the things, like I feel pretty tired, in like the hard ways and the best ways. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's good. Amen to the tired. I feel tired. So tired that I realized I don't think I introduced myself when I started this video and said my name. So my name is Melissa Denisi, and my season of life is getting to lead this ministry. So I'm on staff at The Well, very part-time. So there have been different seasons I've done different things for our church, but now it's getting to lead this ministry and be with you all. And then I also have 2 toddlers at home. So a 3-year-old boy and a 1.5-year-old girl, and a husband that has, he works for the Fresno Unified School District. So he's got a busy job too. So we are in those fun, tiring days of life. So glad to be here. And my next question, so obviously this is a women's Bible study. We are all on this team because Bible study has impacted our lives in lots of different ways, but great ways. In our ministry, we really have a simple vision of studying books of the Bible verse by verse so that you would know more of who God is and how he changes you from the inside out. So we want that, what you learn from the Bible to be straight into your heart and changing who you are and how you live and what you think about God. So I want to hear from you guys. How has Bible study impacted your life?
I think about Bible study, I think of a couple different things. One is just being in the Word on my own, and then in being in community. But I would say either way, opening God's word is really hearing his voice, and it flips my world upside down almost every time. There's just something that changes and shifts, and I kind of go from living orphaned to being fathered again, where there's just a different perspective, a different hope, a security, a trust. And really ultimately because it all points to Jesus. And so there's just this wandering that I do, and I can forget that my story fits into this big epic love story of God redeeming me as part of his people. And being in the Word not only reminds me that I'm part of that story, that big story, but that every single chapter matters, including this COVID chapter of being with Aubrey full time. It's all being redeemed for his purposes, and that there is purpose in all of it. I think in community, that's been critical because I can interpret the word of God, whether it's Jude or wherever I am, on with my own insecurities, fears, prides, you know, biases, prejudices, whatever I've eaten that morning. And so being in community and having others who are smarter than I, that I study when I teach, and being in community with other women that are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's just a truthfulness that comes down. And sometimes it's conviction, sometimes it's comfort, but it always leads into greater truth. And the truth, again, just resets me free and turns my world back upside down. So just so grateful for the freedom that we have to not only open God's word, but to open it with sisters and brothers, and to really hear God's voice through one another. So it's just powerful. It really does flip life.
Mm-hmm. And I feel the similar perspective shift from being in God's word. And, you know, I grew up in the church, and I remember watching the older gals when I was a freshman in high school who loved God's word and loved to be in it and be in Bible study. And I was just like, I don't get that. And I just prayed and prayed, Lord, I want to love your word like that. And so I just spent time reading it. And there was a day where it changed for me, where it came to life for me. And it's been instilled in me. It's kind of like, you know, God breathes life into us at creation. He's continually breathing life into us through his word. And it does. It gives such perspective to life, for you to view life differently and what's happening around you, and anchored in hope. And I just think of like really muddy, dirty water when there's seasons that you're away from the word or not in it. And just your thinking gets so cloudy, you can get so self-centered and narrow thinking. But to be in the word clears that water of just thinking of eternal perspective of what really matters in life. And I've just been so discipled by the word, and even more so being in the word with others of learning from them how to study the Bible, and just gleaning from them of what God's word is to their life. As you know, God's word is living and active. It's not changing, but we are all changing, and how it's changing my own seasons of life, and watching that in others and seeing that in my own life, and just can't get enough of it because it's living and active through all of my life, and I'll continually learn from it in every stage and every season.
Yeah, so good. And I resonate with so much of that. I think that, you know, same Ashley, being raised in a Christian home and not realizing until I was about 22 that I hadn't really ever surrendered my life to the Lord. So I had encounters with God's word, but really to understand what it was to be hearing God's voice, like you said, Patty, like understanding, like this is his words to us, and allowing that to change me instead of just like studying it, where it really became something that studied me and really would shift my heart and my life. And I think in this season, God's just been showing me how creative he is, and how he wants to meet with us, and he wants us to hear from him through his word, that we would be abiding in it, but that can look different than maybe what I like think it should, you know, the way study looks, the way quiet time with the Lord looks. But I think in terms of community, I think COVID has really revealed to me how dangerous it is to be in isolation, like how important it is for us to be in community. Like there's these blind spots in my life that I just won't see if I'm not surrounding myself with women who are not only seeing me, but I'm running alongside, where I'm seeing things in their life that's like, man, I have not asked the Lord about that. Is that true in my life too? And the way that we use God's word as a mirror, but then we're a mirror for each other too, and just how important we need both of those things. And so thankful that the Lord made the church that way.
I love that all of you talked about Bible study going hand in hand with God's people, that this isn't just something we do alone for the sake of head knowledge, but it is to be lived out and lived with people. So that is why part of when we went to an online sort of format for this ministry, we opened up a really big Facebook group, because if you are doing this online and you're doing it on your own, we want you to at least have a place where you can come weekly. We have someone who leads our prayer team, and she'll be asking how to pray for you. You can interact with other women there. So if you are doing this on your own, but you don't want to be alone, we're glad you're here. Join that Facebook group. You'll get emails from our team every single week too. So we want you to feel a part of something. And so I would say for me, the way Bible studies impacted my life, I did not grow up in the church. So when I, when Christ found me, I had a lot to learn. And so I was just hungry to know about him, to know about this story, like you talked about, Patty, this story that you had been invited into, to learn who he was and to learn really more about his father. Who is this heavenly father that we have? And so it was kind of a purity for me to approach Bible study because I didn't have any of this baggage from, you know, church hangups or denominations that taught me false theology. I could just approach his word and know who he was and ask people questions about it. I had people in my life who had walked with the Lord longer than I did, and so I was able to ask them, and it became this source of joy for me, and it really does feel like the closest thing we have on earth to sitting down for a cup of coffee with Jesus and saying, how do I handle this situation? Or learning attributes about God, you know, whatever it may be. So I hope that's the experience through Jude that you get and anytime you're in his word. So maybe tell us, what is God teaching you guys right now? I know we've talked about COVID a little bit, but what is he teaching you in this season of life?
I think, yeah, before jumping into that, I just want to say it's so amazing to watch and listen to all of you and to get to be a part of seeing how God's word is changing you and how that changes me, like Jess was saying. And it's just such a privilege. I'm just thanking God in this minute for just who you all are. I am personally in the book of Jeremiah, that I like to be somewhere in God's word where I'm not teaching, writing, counseling. It's just me and the Lord, so that it doesn't get clouded by what I'm going to share or what it can just be hearing my father's voice just directly to me. And then I'm soaking in Jude for this. And then I'm also in an apologetics class. And so kind of the common thread in all of these is just really making a defense for our faith, like contending for our faith. And what does it look like in this crazy world and in our season to really contend for the faith and to give an account for the hope that is within us that Peter talked about. And I've been honestly really overwhelmed. Jeremiah is a heavy book to understand and follow. I'm using a lot of smarter people to help me understand it. Jude, we're gonna find, is challenging and beautiful. Apologetics is way past my pay grade. I took a midterm today and I don't know that I did all that well. But I think the thing that the Lord is teaching me in all of it is that we can learn a lot up here. Like Melissa was talking about the head and the heart. We can learn a lot, and we do need to understand our faith, the faith, what it means that we have faith in Jesus Christ and fellowship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, to contend for the faith is a lot about love. And if I don't contend for the faith out of love for my father and love for my neighbor, I'm just going to be a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. I'm going to make no impact or not be sincere before my father. No matter how eloquent or right I can get it, at the end of the day, love is love for my father and love for my neighbor is what matters most. And I find that super freeing. So as I'm getting anxious and studying, I feel like the Lord is just so kind in reminding me, remember that you're loved, and that's the message, that because of Jesus, they can come into this redemption story too. So that's what he's teaching me. Stay on a place of really fanning your affection for me and for your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. I have kind of two words in mind that I feel like God's been teaching me and more reminded me of, as well as image and sight. So through our journey of trying to get pregnant, just even early on, I felt the Lord really pressing on my heart of, you know, why do you even want children? And my just instant knee-jerk kind of response is, because I want to see little people from us and just what they would look like and imagining that and how cute it would be. But then we're also feeling the Lord's pressing of, like, what is the Lord's design and heart for children? And why does he want us to be fruitful and multiply and to be about bearing his image on this earth and not mine? And making that the heart and motive of bearing more of God's image on this world, in this messy world, that we would have more of his likeness here, not mine. And so just, and that carries into every area of my life, and just particularly that, you know, stage in question, but just even as a wife, as a friend, as a, you know, as a boss, I had employees, like, am I worried about my image and what people think of me and those roles? Or am I more concerned about proclaiming who God is, his image through what I do? And so that's just been really pressing on me. And just, I think the conviction of that simple question, my reaction of like, oh, maybe it should be more than just wanting my image, and really laying that before the Lord. And so sight is kind of recently just a simple, came in a really simple way. We were watching the new version of Lion King, like the live action one, and there's just a scene where they're presenting Simba and all the animals of creation, the whole animal kingdoms coming together. Normally they'd be rivals and, you know, fighting each other, but they're coming together in unison and excitement, all in the glory of, you know, Simba to be their future king. And just in midst of just what's going on in our world and how stressful and chaotic he can be, looking at that alone, just a reminder of raising my sight to see God's end picture, his beauty of intent of creation, of thinking about and knowing where he's taking the kingdom towards a new heaven and earth with all people and all creatures just united in that simple way. And it was just a really simple thing, but just reminding of God's sovereignty over creation, over what he's doing. And I've this past couple of months and really thinking about the disciples in the boat when Jesus calms the water, he's sovereign over creation, and they're just in awe, like, who is this man? And I don't want to lose that, as Patty's word, wonder of him, in thinking about what he's creating, what he's moving the kingdom towards, and to be a part of that and hopeful in it in midst of what we could see around us.
That's good.
So good.
So good. I love listening to you guys. You know, I think the thing that the Lord keeps putting me in positions to learn is the difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Mm-hmm. And really the how deceptive my heart can be in thinking that in keeping, like, I'm thinking I'm making peace, but I'm keeping peace. I'm not actually loving people well. And I think that that's just, you know, something that the Lord has me, just processing through with a lot of different relationships, and, mostly in my own heart though, like, am I after your glory or mine? And how often in, trying to keep peace, it's typically centered around hoping that people will love me or like me or be happy with me and be accepted by people. And so I don't find myself contending for relationships. I just go the easy route. And so the Lord's just been really kind to reveal that sort of thread of sin in my life. And there's been moments where I felt like, man, how do I like start? How do I do this better? You know, I don't even know where to begin. And he's been so kind to really reveal really quick and beautiful changes in my home and in my kids, and how already the way that I approach my children in peacemaking between us and them, it's just really kind. He's giving me this really immediate picture of how beautiful it is when we're after his glory first, and that we contend for a relationship with each other, and really what it looks like to love each other the way that God designed us to, not in a way that just keeps peace, but makes peace.
Good. I would say the thing the Lord's teaching me most in this season is surrender. So, you know, a lot has changed in my role at the church, like Ashley walking through infertility and then adopting two babies in under 2 years. Everything shifted and everything changed, and I was used to having a lot of margin in my day. I could meet with people whenever they wanted. I could study for as long as I wanted, and then it all stopped. So I think for me, it's learning too that I can pursue God differently. And even on those days when I am weak and weary and haven't been in his word and, you know, haven't asked people to pray for me, that he still got me. You know, he still got me. He's still my father. He loves me. It's in my weakness he is made strong. So learning to surrender, learning that I may not be studying like I once was and how I'd love to connect with him, but I am learning who he is by being a mother. So when I get to love my kids through a tantrum, knowing that that's how God loves me through my tantrums. And so I think surrender is what he's teaching me the most right now. And just learn, even this, none of us signed up to ever run an online ministry. We love being face to face and being with women. And now here we are having to learn new technology and all sorts of things because we're surrendered. We want to go where he says to go and serve him the best we can. So we hope for this semester. Our plan is to send you guys an email every Friday. And in that email, you're going to get the reading that you'll do for that week. If you're doing the study guide, we'll tell you the pages to go through, and then you'll get the video that's recorded. And so you can watch the hope is that you will spend time in God's word, whatever the verses are, whatever the pages are, that you'll do that first, and then you'll watch the video link that we send you with Jackie Hill Perry's teaching and our discussion. So we really want to encourage you too that we know this is a crazy season for a lot of people, and some of you have a lot more time at home and some of you have a lot less time at home. And so if you are doing the study guide, give yourself grace, whatever season you're in. This is an in-depth study. It's probably the most we've ever asked of you if you've been a part of our ministry. We've done some pretty deep studies too, but it's a lot of work in a week. So if you get through a few questions each day, great. If you read the passages, great. We want you most of all to be with us in this. So the study guide is supplemental. It's really that we want you to enjoy God and his word and come together with his people to learn more about him. So give yourself grace this semester. But you'll get that information each week from us. And again, join our Facebook group. It's on our registration page. We're going to do different things throughout the semester so you feel a part of something bigger. If you're not on Facebook, that's okay. You'll still be with us. But we just want to end this first session then in prayer for what is to come. So will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the women that you've drawn to this study and you've drawn really to yourself, Lord. Thank you that even in such a weird, strange, hard season for a lot of people, you are still God. You are in control. You love us as your daughters. You see us as you see your son, Jesus. And I pray in this time, Lord, that we would know and experience more of your grace and your goodness and your peace as we walk through a book that's about contending for the faith, that we would anchor into this faith you've called us to, Lord. Would you be with us as we go over these next few weeks? Reveal to us what it is that you want us to learn about who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so get to dig into the first week of homework. So have fun doing that. We'll see you back here next week. Bye.